Take home a piece of history from the Chicago Tribune. Get your own Cubs memorabilia, including the newspaper from the historic Cubs win. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com right now and get yourself a copy.
Aaron Blake from the Washington Post is on the Super Celebrity Hotline and has written a very interesting piece today about it's Donald Trump, who, Aaron, I don't know if you've seen the news, but he's been elected president of the United States. And
Somebody told me about that, I think.
Yes. And I know it was a shocker to everyone, including himself, and perhaps most importantly, Kellyanne Conway, who now is like, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What did I just do?
Kellyanne Conway, and I think Donald Trump, in a lot of ways, is surprised the rest of us by this.
Yes, I think he was. I think it was based on the actions we've seen so far. But he's right on it, though. He's on top of all of this. Why we can't and shouldn't ignore Donald Trump's tweets is your headline today. Why not?
Well, this is an idea that's begun to crop up a little bit more than usual. It certainly was there during the campaign, but there seemed to be a group of people who think that Donald Trump is basically using his Twitter account to distract us by sending provocative tweets when something comes up that he'd like to not have us focus on, whether it's conflicts of interest, potential conflicts of interest in his administration, the kind of unruly appointment process that's been happening so far. That's an argument that people can certainly make. I do think, though, that, you know, this is the president-elect. This is somebody who generally has earned the ability to make news when they want to, when they want to weigh in on a subject and drive the agenda. And I think it's just it's kind of a fantasy, that the idea that, you know, just by ignoring the things that he says on Twitter, especially when they're controversial, that somehow the situation is going to change or the people are going to suddenly focus on more substantial issues. I just think that's a little bit too clever.
I remember that, and I mentioned this to you, Ro, at the time, that the Hamilton tweets, when those came out, they seemed to exist in the 24-hour news cycle. I hear it's highly overrated. They need to apologize to Mike Pence. But at that very same time, the $25 million settlement had happened with the Trump University, and that really paled in comparison in the coverage. But the Hamilton thing was so juicy. You have all these Hamilton actors coming out to say, I'm offended, or this, you know, they responded to it. And it seemed to, you know, like I said, dominate the news cycle. But how do you cover someone like a president-elect Donald Trump when that kind of dynamic is in play? It presents so many challenges.
Well, you're right. And that was really the first example of this whole, you know, ignore Trump's tweets movement springing up after he was elected. The tweets about Hamilton did come right after the Trump University settlement was announced. But I think it's also worth noting here that Trump was also tweeting about that issue. In fact, shortly before he talked about Hamilton on Twitter, he sent a couple tweets about the settlement and why he did that. Mm-hmm. So I think the idea that he was trying to distract from that is maybe not quite what he was doing. I think he's pretty indiscriminate with his tweets. He likes
that's
to
what I'm afraid
people.
Of. God, that's what I'm afraid of, Aaron. It's like, yeah. The reality is, I think, like a lot of people, I'm kind of hoping mm-hmm. that this is all strategic on his part,
right.
Because then it would indicate that he does actually have some strategy and that, you know, he's thinking this, and then we'll be able to decode it. Mm-hmm. And we, meaning everybody, will be able to decode it and see what he's trying to do. Because if it is indiscriminate, and I hate that word. If it is, in fact, that it indicates to me that there is a lack of control and responsibility to the outcome and all those kinds of things. He just kind of throws it out there. I mean, this thing today now. The tweet today is an interesting one, the one where he talks about people who burn the flags, probably or whatever, he used a little bit of an ameliorating word there, should lose their citizenship or spend a year in jail.
Right.
That we're told came from him watching a story on Fox News Channel about Hampshire College having to take all the flags down because the kids were burning them at this small liberal arts college in Massachusetts. And it's like, Okay. Now, he just reacted like that to the story, and so he just goes to Twitter. Is it? It's like there's like a live grenade. Like there's not, shouldn't there be people around him that just like jump at him to try to grab his phone away from him?
Well, I think what's and by the way, you know, you said you don't like the idea that this is all indiscriminate. I've got bad news for you. I think that it is, and yeah. I think it's highly reactive, and I think that the tweet this morning about flag burning is a good example of that. He seemed to see something basically on Fox News and react to it within a matter of minutes. You know, I think that the fact, if there was any hope of him, you know, kind of toning it down with his Twitter, I think that went out the door the moment that he won the presidency, because all of a sudden, I think in Trump's mind, at least, everything that he did during the campaign was kind of vindicated in one fell swoop. He proved all the smart people wrong. And so why would he suddenly change after we've been telling him he needs to change for all this time?
Yeah,
this
right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's
so
also.
I don't think he would have taken that guidance in the first place, but I definitely don't think he's going to take it now.
I think that also explains, too, the reaction that some people are having to his election, which the people who are drunkenly celebrating on a Delta flight,
sure,
or screaming at somebody in a Michael's craft shop, or, you know, whatever it happens to be. People who are reacting like this, because I think they're equally surprised, because they never thought their ship was going to come in, and they have won the I'm angry at the world lottery. And so there is the people who are overreacting. I mean, there's some people who are relieved because they wanted a conservative, or they wanted a Republican, or they wanted, you know, I'm going to just venture a guess here. Majority of those who are relieved that it is not Hillary Clinton are 55-60% of those are probably also just a little on edge about what it means to have him. And then you have another, you know, whatever it is, 30% who are like, yeah, this is great. Finally, our guy. Finally, a guy thinks just like me. The talk show principle. and that's the part that, you know, it kind of, because, you know, I worked in talk radio for a long time now, and I quite honestly, I would not want to elect anybody I know who works in this business, including me. So I know this guy, and he scares
sure.
me.
Sure. Well, the fact that some of these tweets happen in the middle of the night, I think a lot of people sort of, you know, wonder, well, wait a minute, is this someone just who can't control it? He stays up all night, and then he just has to react without much thought to what he's going to say. And then there's that part of Trump we know from how he's become successful is just lashing out brutally at anybody who attacks him, and that's what he has used Twitter for also. It's unprecedented.
It is, and it doesn't seem to be changing in any way, shape, or form. I think, if anything, he's probably been busier and maybe less able to sign on constantly to Twitter. But it seems to be kind of snowballing now that we're getting deeper into the transition season. And you know, even if you look at last night, he was feuding with CNN yet again. This is all the stuff we saw during the campaign, and it's showing no signs of abating, and I wouldn't expect it to anytime soon. So I think, you know, we as journalists are going to be confronted with covering these things constantly. We certainly have to strike a balance with it, but I think that, you know, when the president says that there's millions of fraudulent votes, or he, you know, says that people's citizenship should be revoked, that's a pretty serious thing which we need to explore and provide context for.
Right. I do like, though, this inversion. I know we got to run here, but I love this logical inversion, which is used, by the way, as a trick on talk radio all the time, and amongst other forms of argumentation, which tend to fail. Which the positor of the statement of the assertion says it is green. The sky is green. And then you go, no, it's not. It's blue. Oh, prove it. The people making the assertion are asking for proof of their false assertion that it's the reverse. And our entire culture is predicated on we believe what we see until it is proven wrong, not we believe what we don't see until it is proven right. Right. And that to me. And again, by the guy who has been elected president of the United States, to turn the logic cube like that and make it seem like we're in Lost or Westworld or something like that is a little is a little daunting, I think, for people who, you know, want to see the United States still be the, you know, the citadel on the rock.
Yeah, and I think the voter fraud tweets that he sent out were a good illustration of this whole thing. You know, he says that millions of illegal votes cast, serious fraud in California, Wisconsin, and or rather California, Virginia, New Hampshire. You know, we as journalists cannot prove a negative. It's
right.
hard for us to say absolutely there was not any of this. We can say there's no evidence of that, but from there it's up to people to decide whether they believe that, you know, this supposition that he's making, and whether the, you know, they believe the media that there's no proof of this, or whether they're going to believe anecdotal reports of you know, a few dead people being registered in Harrisonburg, Virginia.
Yeah.
It's a tough thing, but all we can do is provide the facts as we know them, and hopefully you know, people will have faith enough to do a good job with that.
Aaron, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Aaron.
Great article today Washington Post.
Being highly shared.
All right. Aaron Blake, senior reporter of The Fix at Washington Post. Mm-hmm. WAPO.com.